Thanks for listening to today's Real Estate for Breakfast podcast. I would now like to tell you a story about the revival of a train depot, ensuring it will be useful, accessible, and beneficial to society now and in the future. The tales of Detroit's past had always captivated me, and I've always been especially drawn to the Michigan Train Depot, which for most of my lifetime has served as a stark reminder of Detroit's past economic prowess and then its unfortunate urban stagnation and decay. My grandparents had told me many stories about the grandeur of the depot, and for many years, when participating in the annual Tour Detroit bike rally, famously locating its starting gates in front of the station, I would stand in front of the massive crumbling structure with my biking companions. We felt as though we could practically see in it the ghosts of Detroit's past. So, as soon as I heard that the Michigan Train Depot renovations were completed, after almost 6 years by the Ford Motor Company, like most of the public, I was eager to witness the changes for myself. Detroit was once a booming metropolis at the beginning of the 20th century, experiencing tremendous growth with the vitality of the expanding automobile industry. The Michigan Train Depot, a masterpiece of Beaux-Arts architecture, first opened its doors on December 26, 1913, amid this spirit of expansion and hope. The same famed architectural firm that created New York City's classic Grand Central Terminal created the Michigan Train Depot, which swiftly rose to prominence as Detroit's crown jewel of transportation. The opulent building, which took about $15 million to construct, the equivalent of $200 million today, served as a symbol of Detroit's potential and economic importance. The terminal had an elaborate and cavernous waiting area with marble floors and graceful columns, as well as an 18-story office building made of premium materials like marble, granite, and limestone. With more than 200 trains a day transporting millions of passengers across the nation, the depot was a hive of activity. Most came to partake in Detroit's prosperity, due in most part to the burgeoning automobile industry propelled by the likes of Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler. The depot prospered alongside Detroit. The station served as a vital transit hub during World War II, a ray of optimism during the Roaring Twenties, and a lifeline during the Great Depression. But by the middle of the 20th century, train travel's heyday was starting to fade. Train travel was displaced by the growth of the interstate highway system and the popularity and ease of obtaining an automobile. Passenger numbers at the once bustling Michigan Train Depot had significantly decreased by the 1960s. In less than 50 years, the enormous hallways of the station that had previously resounded with thousands of footfall and voices fell silent. After the depot closed its doors in 1988, the structure began to fall apart due to vandalism, neglect, and the passage of time. What had once been a testament to Detroit's glory was now a somber reminder of its problems. The opulent building was now reduced to a shell. It sat vacant as a spectral reminder of a golden age, not only serving as a symbol of Detroit's own social and economic collapse, but also of the declines of most of this nation's industrial inner cities or the Rust Belt. The Michigan Train Depot was abandoned for decades and would have been demolished by Detroit City Council had someone not had the foresight to place it on the National Historic Register years earlier. Decades later, Detroit and its iconic depot would rise from the ashes. After many fits and starts, the city started to see a revival and sense of hope again in the mid-2000s. With the help of public and private investors, plans were launched to restore the Michigan Train Depot. The estimated cost of the restoration project was approximately $350 million. With this investment, the building's historical magnificence was restored while simultaneously being updated for modern use, guaranteeing that it would continue to be a dynamic and useful venue for years to come. The building's previous beauty was painstakingly restored by artisans and architects who sought to recreate every feature, from the elaborate details of the front to the marble floors and elaborate columns of the great waiting room. In June, the renovated train depot was reopened to the public. as I strolled through the renovated halls with friends and hundreds of other curious minds. One could feel the excitement as Detroit celebrated another win in its continued quest for revival. It was beautiful. It is currently a mixed-use development with offices, shops, and cultural institutions. I was so impressed by the harmonious fusion of the old and the modern, the way the past had been respected while welcoming the present. The Michigan Train Depot renovations serve as a representation of the city's resiliency, regeneration, hope, and advancement. Reflecting on the Train Depot's revival, it reminds me how similar this immense undertaking was to the everyday practice of law. Lawyers usually strive to maintain the rules of the past that are just and fair and create new ones that are appropriate for the modern world, much like how the depot was renovated to look fantastic once again based upon its old foundations while still adding new modern features. A lawyer might, for instance, revise an outdated property statute to now include non-fungible tokens, NFTs, or a privacy statute to include provisions for social media and cell phones. The depot and the law both require ongoing upkeep to be functional and successful, demonstrating that with enough work and dedication, the past and present may be combined to create a much better future for the public good. If you like what you heard, please share this with your friends and family. If you have any questions about how this podcast relates to real estate or contract law, definitely call my office. Dedicated to your success, David Sobel.